following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Refuge Family, greetings. It's Thursday, it's May 21st, and it's time for our fireside chat. Our fireside chats are something we started on the 16th of March when the lockdown began. And wanted to provide to you on Monday through Friday these 15-minute words of encouragement. So today's going to come from Genesis 18. So if you want to follow with me, I'll be in Genesis 18 for the chat today. Quickly, by way of announcement, wanted to let you know that on Sunday, from 1 o'clock to 2:30, just an open time, not a set start or but ending by 2:30, of course, but just this open time where we want to, we as the staff, the Refuge staff, your staff, be out in the front and the courtyard this Sunday to see you, just do a drive-through. That's the plan, just a drive-through, maybe entering at the Chase Bank side, coming in by the courtyard area, and then exiting out Home Goods side, so we can just see you and bless you and ask the Lord to cover you during this time and see one another face-to-face from your car windows, I know, but we're getting close. We're getting so close to regathering, and we're ready on this end, so just waiting for the word. But we're doing that Sunday. So open time, whatever works for you in that 90-minute window. And then Monday is Memorial Day, and we certainly desire to continue to do our annual practice of honoring those that served in the military and gave their lives. They gave all. They died on our behalf as a country and for our country. And so this Monday is Memorial Day. Normal activities won't be happening here, although we will do a fireside chat for you. But our food distribution won't be happening that day. But what we will have is our walk, our Memorial Day walk that we do from Patriot Point to Huntington Beach Pier and back. It's not an assembly. You're not gathering. We're not hanging out. We start our walk at 9 from Patriot Point. We walk to the pier and back. Some of us will have flags that we'll carry, or a flag in our hat, what have you, and just a way to honor those, especially because most activities and festivities for that day have been canceled. So we're not canceling that, and it's still legit. We can do that. So we're going to do that on Memorial Day. So today, I have an encouragement, a word of encouragement, a challenging encouragement for you. That's my intent. That's my prayer, is that it provides a challenging encouragement for you and for me. And it's going to come from our father of faith, Abraham, and his wife, Sarah. So we're going to zoom in on Genesis 18, just the first 14 verses, and then we'll kind of zoom out to see how this principle that I hope to extract from this for you is timeless and thereby applicable, applying to you and to me to this day, to what's going on now. So let me read to you from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. The Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. Well, one day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance to his tent. And by that, don't think of a tiny little pup tent or a little two-man tent, but probably a pretty nice, expansive, not expensive, well, that too, but quite a nice tent during the hottest part of the day. And he looked up and he noticed three men standing nearby. And so when he saw them, he ran to meet them and he welcomed them, bowing low to the ground. "My Lord," he said, "if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with this visit, let me prepare some food to refresh you before you continue on your journey." "All right," they said, "do as you have said." So Abraham ran back to the tent, said to Sarah, "Hurry, get three large measures of your best flour and knead it into dough and bake some bread." And then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender calf and he gave it to his servant, who quickly prepared it. And then when the food was ready, Abraham took some of the yogurt and the milk and the roasted meat and that bread and served it to the men. And as they ate, Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. And then one of the visitors asked, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Which is interesting, right? We don't know if the conversation brought up who she was or her name. Of course, one of these visitors would definitely know. So Abraham replied, well, she's inside the tent. And then one said, well, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. So keep in mind, at the time, Sarah's about 90, Abraham 99. So Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. So she's not outside with him under the shade of the tree, but she's there at the tent. And verse 11 says that Abraham and Sarah, of course, as I just mentioned, were both very old at this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children, so she laughed silently to herself. Again, she laughs, this is verse 12, she laughs silently to herself. She says, well, how could a worn-out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my husband is also so old? And then the Lord said to Abraham, and by this we know that one of these three, probably the other two were angels, and one was the angel of the Lord, which was a way of saying Jesus pre-incarnate before he came incarnate, but in this appearance, so that we could say the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Key question here, asking Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have such a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? He said, well, I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. So he didn't change that promise because she kind of laughed to herself. Interesting that he even knew that, because she's in the tent, and she said it silently. But it's the Lord, so of course. So I want to zoom in a little closer to the question from the Lord, why did Sarah laugh, being the question. Because, see, God had told Abraham earlier in the year that this promised son, this heir, would not only come by way of him, because that promise, you see that in actually chapter 15 of Genesis, but in chapter 17, then the Lord reiterates it and says, it, not only are you going to have a son, but Sarah's going to bear this child, right? So it's going to be by way of your wife, not a surrogate. So don't get any ideas again here, Abe. It's going to be by way of Sarah. So now, later in that same year with this encounter, the Lord, interestingly, holds Abraham accountable for his part in Sarah's reaction to the Lord's claim, specifically Abraham's part in her reaction. So Sarah is still responsible for her own actions and her reaction, definitely, and Abraham is not responsible for her doubtful response, but here's the kicker, here's the key. Abraham is responsible for his influence, his part in her reaction. So the question is, you know, did he not pass on the word from the Lord for her? That was really to Sarah as well, that is mentioned in Genesis 17, something that was shared with Abraham earlier in the year. I mean, this is huge. He should have shared that with Sarah. And maybe he did. Maybe he did tell her about that. And if that's the case, then if he did tell her, maybe he didn't. If he didn't, he should have. And if he did tell her, then his own actions, maybe his behavior, his doubting countenance, perhaps contributed to her lack of faith. We basically have one of these two happening. In either way, the Lord wanted Abraham to give account. Why did Sarah laugh? And again, not taking away from Sarah's own responsibility for her actions and for her words, but holding Abraham accountable for his part, his contribution, his influence to her understandably kind of mocking response. So Abraham was either, you know, negligent in not telling her, or he just behaved in such a way that said really the same thing that she said, and maybe by his actions, behavior, attitude, that kind of thought that she said to herself, there's no way that, you know, we're going to have kids at this age, at this time in our life. So hopefully by now this is causing you to say, that's a great story, but what in the world's that got to do, you know, with a encouraging word for this time, a fireside chat? How does that even relate to this? And here's the answer to that. You and I, we have spheres of influence, right? Married or not, that's not the point. That's just the example here of two married people. But regardless of that, we all have, you have, I have, spheres of influence. You have people from the Lord that God's put in your life, right? Just as surely as God put Sarah in Abraham's life, God has put people in your life, in your sphere of influence. People who right now may be people who are feeling hopeless, you know, due to what's going on. I had an interesting conversation with a refugee recently talking about a doctor that she knows, and we knew of this doctor from years ago. She's a pediatrician locally, and she was saying how depression among kids, and even suicide as well, but depression has just spiked during this time, and that's just so sad. And so there are people in our spheres of influence that have this kind of hopelessness right now. Also people who maybe think that things are just totally, they're out of control. Things are out of control, right? People that perhaps are in our sphere of influence that wonder if maybe God is just forgotten about them, right? He's just not paying attention or is not concerned with their individual lives. Yeah, he may care about others, but not me. Maybe people who think, people in our spheres of influence that their rights are the ultimate issue. Or maybe think that physical death, that's the ultimate issue. That's the most important thing right now. People are dying. And so with all such people, I can, with and without words, we can convey something to those five examples I just gave you. And we should do it with words and without both. Our countenance should not contradict our behavior. Our attitude cannot contradict what we're saying, right? And so for those that feel like there's just no hope, that it's just a hopeless situation, we can convey by our attitudes and by our words that there's hope. There's hope in Jesus. There's always hope in Jesus. That never changes, right? And so we have that ability to influence those in our spheres of influence. For those that think that, you know, things, at least on the surface, it looks like everything's out of control. No, God's in control. God is ultimately in control. And so we can convey that. We can pass that on verbally and by our actions. Or perhaps God's promise to never leave us or forsake us. That's a promise of God. Just as surely as Abraham got a promise that, hey, you're going to have a son. It's going to be by way of Sarah. We can convey our promise that the Lord will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Even if you're wondering if, and we'll have people in our spheres of influence that they're going to wonder if, well, you know, maybe the Lord is forsaking me. Maybe it's something I did or should have done. It didn't do or whatever. And thinking that that's going to change God's promise. It's not. That's not. But we can convey that. Maybe those in our sphere of influence who need to know that rights are a gift from God, and they're a precious gift, clearly. But occasionally, you know, maybe we're obsessing on the gift and not the giver. And so we can help in that area. Or physical death, those that think, well, physical death, it's everything. It's the greatest issue, but it's not. It's not. It's an issue, but it's not the greatest issue. The death of the soul is the greatest issue. Just the understanding that we can pass on that physical death is temporary, but the soul is forever. And what are you doing with that? What's that based upon in your life? What's your hope in as it relates to that? So, all that to say, let's you and I be faithful in our spheres of influence, right? Those people that God's put in our lives. Again, just as He put Abraham and Sarah together. And let's not give the Lord reason to ask us, like He had to ask Abraham, you know, questions like, hey, why did that coworker of yours, you know, feel that physical death is the most important issue? Because you were there. Why did they feel that? Or why did that teenage cousin of yours get the impression from you that it's just hopeless? Everything is hopeless. Why? Not giving the Lord reason to ask us, why does your family wonder if you think your gifts from the Lord are more important than the giver of the gifts, that the blessings are more important than the blesser, the one who blessed us with those. So we want to be faithful in those areas. And again, those kind of questions, they're not condemning. You know, when the Lord asked that to Abraham, it wasn't with condemnation. It was just it was a good question. It was a good, honest question. That's all. The application for us is to be faithful with our spheres of influence. All right. So let's pray. I'll close it out with a prayer for you and for me in this time. Well, Father, thank you for this story that you've passed on to us, this account from thousands of years ago from Abraham and Sarah. Lord, just reminding us that we need to be, that you want us to be faithful in those spheres of influence that you've put us in, Lord. To make sure that we convey your heart and your promises with our words and with our actions, our attitudes, our behavior. Lord, we don't want to give you more reasons to ask us important questions, introspective questions about what's going on in our lives and the people that we influence. Lord, we want to be faithful, and we have your Spirit to empower us and even to remind us. Lord, thank you for that. You're so faithful, Lord. And so we look to you to help us to be that way as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Tomorrow, Fireside Chat back at noon with communion. So be ready. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.